I do say, come, Holy Spirit, touching our ears that we might hear exactly and only what you have for us this day. Touching our hearts and stirring us up that we would be so receptive that not a word from your lips goes unheeded in our lives. And then touch our wills, lest we be hearers only and not doers of your word, but open to obeying you in whatever you say. We pray and believe today in Jesus' name. Amen. Alleluia. And God bless you on this fine Pentecost Sunday. Amen. I look forward to Pentecost Sunday because God always does great things in this place on Pentecost Sunday. So it's good that you are here. Amen. I want to begin this message with three words of testimony. How God, in other places, at other times, with other people, has moved powerfully and dramatically in their midst, because that's what today is all about. The power of the Spirit of God moving in the midst of His people. Amen? And so I share these three words of testimony just as a word of encouragement to help us in our own expectation that what God did in other places and with other people, He can do here with us. Amen? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He can do in one man's life, He can do in another man's life. I believe it. The first took place in Edmonton, Canada. It happened during an especially anointed and powerful service of praise and worship. Now, I just want you to do a little side trip. I want you to know that many, many, many times it's during praise and worship that the Holy Spirit just begins to move powerfully in the midst of His people. That's why I keep encouraging us to make sure we're here during the time of praise and worship, so that the Spirit of God can begin moving. And because it says God inhabits the praises of His people. And that's what they were doing. They're just praising and worshiping God. And the Spirit of God began to move. And He sent a word to the congregation of prophecy. And this is what the word said. God said, don't look to the left. He said, don't look to the right. And He said, don't look in the balconies. We don't have any, but they did. He said, all I want you to do is look in one place and one place only. He said, look and watch at the center of the auditorium and watch my power work. Well, that got everybody's attention. So everybody just starts watching to see what God's going to do. And as they watched and as they waited, the wind of the Spirit began to move. It started like a small oval swirl, like a little whirlwind or a dust wind. And immediately as the Spirit of God began to swirl in the center section of the auditorium, about 60 people just went to the ground under the power of the anointing of the Spirit. Then the oval got bigger and bigger and bigger and faster and faster and faster, and the more faster? That's not even a word. The faster and the bigger it got, the more people fell under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and fell to the ground under that anointing. And then as suddenly as it appeared, it just stopped. And what was left in the center section, only 12 people left standing, and they were in the back row. Sorry, back row. But that's where they were, the very edge of the whirlwind. Everybody else, hundreds of people, had fallen to the ground under the anointing, but not a single person on the left, not a single person on the right, and not a single person in the balcony had been touched. God was just showing what He can do when He moves in the midst of His people. Amen? Well, the second testimony took place in Charleston, South Carolina. Tony and I were standing in this big circle in the parish hall after a service and a teaching on the baptism and the move and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this prayer time afterwards was a follow-up for those who wanted to receive laying on of hands and prayer for filling of the Holy Spirit. And it was being done by a couple by the name of Francis and Judith McNutt. And as they went around laying hands on people, many of the people, not everybody, many people also, just like I mentioned earlier, went down to the floor under the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. And as they began to get closer and closer and closer, I began to get more and more nervous. Now, you see, I got to tell you something. You just think I'm always as I've always been, but that's not true. How many of you know we all changed? How many of you know even in supernatural things, we've changed? Some of us may have resisted the Spirit. Now we're excited about the Spirit, right? I mean, yeah, so I wasn't always where I am now, and I wasn't then. I was watching these people. And this is what we call, for those of you who aren't real familiar with it, it's variously called resting in the Spirit, or it's called falling under the power of the Spirit. Some people like to use the word slain in the Spirit. I don't like that because it's like he came to get me, you know, but you know, whatever, this is what we call it. And at that particular time in my life, I'd never experienced it, okay? That's why I was a little nervous about it. In fact, I was even a little skeptical. Anybody ever been skeptical about things? Okay. I was. I was watching it. Boom, boom, boom. So here's how I'm feeling. I'm nervous and I'm excited. Do you know you can be both at the same time? See, I wasn't sure about it, but I didn't want to miss out on anything God had in store for me. Isn't that a good place to be? I mean, even if you're nervous, if you're open, God can work. Where God doesn't work is when you shut down and shut him out, okay? So I just was watching. Now, so I'm fearful and hopeful. Get where I am. I'm fearful and hopeful, and the closer they get, the more fearful and the more hopeful I am. And as they got closer, I decided to make one of those I'm the head of the house decisions. You know what I mean? I quickly took Tony's hand, thinking to myself, if I'm going down, she's going down. I'm not going down by myself. How about that for leadership? Okay. Now, of course, I was an idiot. Because here's the deal. Of all the people on the planet to hang on to, Tony was the last person who would help me stay standing. Because Tony goes down in the Spirit at the drop of a hat. I mean, it's like prayer flop, prayer flop, prayer flop. I mean, so if the real thing was, if she was going down, she was taking me with her. So the mixed nuts get close, and I just closed my eyes, and I just said, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. And sure enough, all of a sudden, my knees just got weaker and weaker and weaker. And the next thing I knew, they were like limp. And I found myself lying on the floor, looking at the ceiling, wondering how many people were watching me. Probably nobody was watching me, but I felt like everybody was watching me, especially since I was wearing my collar and feeling very undignified and very un-Anglican. But God's good. The third took place in Orlando, Florida. Notice how I'm getting closer. Canada, South Carolina, Florida. This time it was Benny Hinn who was praying for us. Now, he wasn't praying for us individually, like my experience in South Carolina. He's praying for the whole, let's use the word congregation. Even though we weren't in a church, we were in a convention center. It still was a congregation, not an audience. Amen? So he was praying for the whole group, just praying up on the platform, up on the stage. And there were thousands of us in this room at this time, again, during a praise and worship time. And some of you remember being there. Okay? And suddenly, something I'd read about but had never experienced or witnessed for myself began to take place in front of my very eyes. Here's what happened. We're all sitting in rows in chairs like this, hundreds of people across like this in rows, all the way back in the auditorium. The Spirit of God moved from the altar like a wave of power. Okay? Think of it like a wave on the ocean, how it builds from here and moves all the way to the shore. And that's what the wave of power did. It started at the front, and it began to move like this. And as the wave hit the rows, every single person in the row went down back into their seat under the power of the Spirit. It went row after row. Boom! 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 I mean, you could see them coming. It's like, boom, boom. It's getting closer. And we're sitting almost in the back. I don't know why we were in the back, but we were in the back. And it's getting closer and closer. And everybody in the lines falling in the Spirit back into their seats. And when they got to our row, the same thing happened to us that happened to everybody else. You could just feel I don't even know how to describe it, just like a force, just come like this and just push you back and knock you into the chair. Let me tell you, sometimes your eyes, you wonder if you're really seeing what you see. But I could tell you something, you couldn't have choreographed that had you planned it in advance. You just can't coordinate hundreds of people falling backwards simultaneously, one row after the other. It's just God. When He wants to move, He just moves. Well, today is Pentecost. This is the day that the people of God were filled with the power of God that they might do the works of God. As you may remember, Jesus had prepared them for this day in Acts chapter 1. I just want to remind you of what He said beginning at verse 4. He told them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. This is a gift, people. Amen? This is a gift. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember what John the Baptist said? He said, I baptize with water, but one's coming after me. With what? The Holy Spirit and fire. That's what He's talking about. Then in verse 8, Jesus, still continuing to get them ready, said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and South Florida, and to the ends of the earth. Well, I added that, as you know, but I want to get closer. Aren't we part of the uttermost parts of the earth? Right here. We're part of the promise. Now, the process by which He fulfilled the promise is what we're talking about today. Amen? We're talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we get that word from Jesus Himself. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's why we call it the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The key is the word baptism. Okay? Because the word baptism means that Jesus either is pouring the Spirit on us or immersing us in the Spirit in like manner that we baptize with water. Now, different people baptize in different ways, but in the Bible, baptism can either mean immersing into the water or pouring the water on the person. So when Jesus says you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, He's saying, think of what happened when you got baptized with the water, and I'm going to do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He's either going to pour it on us, or He's going to immerse us in us, or maybe it's both, because the language can mean both in the New Testament. But that's the vision we see. It's not water, though. This time, it's fire. The fire and the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's going to come on us, poured on us, or we're going to get poured into it. It really doesn't matter as long as it comes to pass. Now, the question is, what do we need this baptism for? And the answer is, it's the only way we can do the work God's called us to do. How many of you know you can't do God's work without God's power? Now, you can try, but it won't work. That's why Jesus said, wait. Don't even try until you get the fire. And you get the fire, then you can do the work I've called you to do. In fact, you may remember He made a promise. I call it a prophetic promise because it's not just a promise, it's a prophecy. He said, you will do the works that I have been doing because I go to the Father. Remember that promise? Well, what were the works Jesus had been doing? How about healing the sick? How about delivering the captives? How about saving the lost? How about feeding the hungry? How about stilling the storm? How about raising the dead? How about that stuff? That's the works Jesus. How many of you know you can't do those works without the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, you can type a letter in the church office, but you can't heal the sick, raise the dead, and deliver the captives without the power of the Holy Spirit. So that was the lead-in. All that's the lead-in, and then it took place Pentecost Sunday, this day, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, on the day of harvest. So let me read to you again what happened. It said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Here we are. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Now, we live in South Florida. Do we know what that sounds like or what? Right? Tropical storms, hurricanes, hello. You know what it sounds like? That's the sound of a rushing wind. We all know it. And filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, quickly, I want you to notice three things about this experience or this encounter with the Spirit of God. First of all, I want you to notice that He revealed and manifested His presence in both wind and fire. Did you get that? Wind and fire. One of which could be seen. Which one? The fire. One of which could be felt or heard, the wind. In fact, they might have both been able to be felt, because I'll tell you, when the Spirit starts moving, like wind or fire, you can either feel the warmth or you can feel the wind. Okay? So they could see the Spirit, they could feel the presence, they could hear Him, because He was showing up with such power, they were very clear, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. The Holy Spirit's here. I want you to notice, secondly, that after that Spirit had come on them, they're now described as being filled with the Holy Spirit. So somehow, when Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit on us or puts us in it, somehow it gets inside of us. And now we're filled with the Spirit. That teaches us something about this encounter or this experience. That which was empty has now been filled. Amen? Okay? So there's an infilling as well as an outpouring. And then thirdly, I want you to notice that once they were so filled with this supernatural power, they immediately began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does that mean? They didn't learn it. That's what it meant. The Holy Spirit just enabled and empowered them to speak in a language they had never learned. Boy, I wish that happened to me with Spanish. Do you know how hard it is to learn language when you're old? It's really hard. They didn't have to learn anything. Why? Because the Holy Spirit just put it in their lips, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that initial manifestation that the Spirit had filled them was what? Come on. Speaking in tongues. Okay? Now, I hope you realize that this is not the first time that these men of God had encountered the Spirit of God. In fact, we just read in the Gospel that on Easter Sunday morning, 50 days before Pentecost Sunday, Jesus said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you think they got it? I mean, if Jesus says to you, "Receive the Holy Spirit," don't you receive something? Okay. In fact, He said He breathed on them. In fact, just in case you're a Bible scholar, the word breath, the word wind, is the same word in the Bible. So when the Holy Spirit can be breath, He can be wind. It's the same thing. So when Jesus breathed on them, it was a sign that they were being imparted by the Holy Spirit. So on Easter Sunday, did they get the Holy Spirit, the apostles? Yes, just say yes. It's true, not a trick question. They got the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said, but that's not it. That's not all. There's more. Isn't that good? There's more. They got the Holy Spirit on Easter, but they got something more on Pentecost. The question is, what more did they get? And the answer is the anointing power to do the works that Jesus had called them to do. Well, what did the Holy Spirit do on Easter? They got born again from above. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in us, aren't we born again from above? Isn't that how we get saved? Isn't that how we enter God's kingdom? As the Holy Spirit comes in us and enlivens our spirits. But how many of you know you don't need to be born again? Again. Right? Do you have to be born again twice? Hello, are you awake? Do you have to be born again twice? No. You only have to be born again once. Okay? But we need to be anointed more than once. I think many Christians, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, kingdom-faithful Christians, the reason they don't experience and encounter the Spirit of God like they want to and should is because they stopped at Easter and forgot about Pentecost. Okay? In other words, they got born again? Great, wonderful, absolutely. That's where you got to start. But they forgot that 50 days later, the same apostles who received the Holy Spirit got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we need both to fulfill God's plans and purposes for our life. Amen? We need the power, we need the anointing, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. So here's the deal about Pentecost as opposed to Easter. Or to put it another way, getting born again versus getting Spirit-filled. The question that we're dealing with today is not, do I have the Holy Spirit? Okay? If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit in your soul. Amen? So the question that we're asking today is not, do you have the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? And how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? In other words, are you filled with the power of Christ? It's also, as I mentioned earlier, important for us to understand that this encounter with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. In fact, I would submit to you that this anointing of the Spirit should and needs to happen in our lives over and over and over again. And the biblical precedent for it, by the way, is in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now the question is, who's in the place that was shaken and got filled with the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, some of the same people that were in the place that got filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. God's showing us that the same people can have the same experience many different times. And one of the interesting things about the anointing is, in our life, it can actually increase, not decrease. In other words, the more we flow, the more we receive. The more we receive, the more we flow. So my hope for you is, even if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've been anointed with power before, don't settle for last week's anointing. Don't settle for last year's anointing. Certainly don't settle for last decade's anointing. God's mercies are new every morning. Now you might be asking, okay, well, all right, if we got the Holy Spirit when we received Christ, and I've been filled with the Holy Spirit already, why do I have to keep getting filled over and over and over and over and over again? And the answer is, I'm not quite sure why. I just know that we need it. Some people think it's because we leak. And so God just has to fill us up again. Or maybe we're like batteries and we just run down. And we need to be recharged again. I don't really know. I don't really care. All I know is in my own life, fresh anointings are really important to continue to be the kind of people we want to be and to do the kind of work that we want to do. So I want to conclude with another word of testimony to get us ready to receive ourselves. The testimony involves Father Dennis Bennett. I've used his testimony before, but I continually bring him up because God used him sovereignly to really be a founding father of the charismatic renewal movement in the Anglican Church. In fact, I would submit to you that our whole denomination, the Charismatic Episcopal Church, owes a debt of gratitude to Father Dennis Bennett and others who went before to be open to the move of the Holy Spirit in the sacramental and liturgical church world. Now, he wasn't originally open to the Spirit. He was originally a good, traditional Anglican. He lived in Van Nuys, California, and he was rector of St. Mark's Episcopal Church. He, interestingly, for months had been counting his blessings that he didn't have any of those weirdos in his church. He called them starry-eyed, tongue-speaking, baptized in the Holy Spirit zealous. And he just thanked God other men had them, but he didn't have any in his church. He didn't think. But he spotted one young couple. And there was something wonderfully special about this young couple. They were so filled with the presence of God that they were always just manifesting joy and happiness and assurance to everybody that they met. Finally, after 3 months of trying to decide whether or not this thing was safe, he decided to go ahead and give it a try. He didn't completely understand what it was. He wasn't completely comfortable with all of it, but here's what he knew. Are you listening? He knew there was something missing in his life. Are you with me? Okay. He knew there was something missing in his Christian life. Even though he was a priest, he knew he didn't have the fullness of what God wanted for him. And he saw in this couple something he didn't have. It was an inner joy, an inner peace, an inner closeness to Jesus that he wanted with all his heart, and the only way he knew to get it was to ask them to pray that he too would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And yet he said, however, I don't want you to pray that I'll speak in tongues. That was his little safety net. He says, here, I want to be close to Jesus like you, but all these other stuff, I don't want that stuff. And especially, he said, I don't want speaking in tongues. Why is that always the way it is? Have you ever wondered why that's the thing that spooks people? I'll do anything, Lord, but not that. And you know what the funny thing is? Sometimes it's the that God wants for us. Okay? So they began to pray. And all of a sudden, in their prayer for him and his prayer, which started out on his part, as he says, praying in a dignified Anglican way, all of a sudden, a strange thing happened. His tongue began to trip over the words. And all of a sudden, guess what? The very thing he didn't want, he got. He just began praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance. So he just, it came with a package. And that's what we find to be true. It just comes with the package. And the more, what he found was that the more this language came out of his lips, the closer he felt to Christ. The more power he felt in his life. And suddenly the love, the joy, and the peace that he was hoping for came as a result of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, I don't know where you are in your life, but let me tell you where we are in our life here. We've been praying for revival and release in this place till our knees are sore and our throats are sore. And I'm praying that today God will take us closer in that direction. I'm praying today for fresh fire and fresh wind and fresh oil. So if that's not what you want, you better run. Because that's what we're going to pray for. And what we do on Pentecost is that we allow anybody who wants that for themselves personally to ask for the same thing people have asked for 2,000 years, the anointing, the filling, the baptism afresh with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We're going to do it by just praying in the Spirit for a moment. Just ask God to begin to move. I'm going to ask the prayer teams that are commissioned to pray for people to come up first. And I'm going to pray for you first. And then we're just going to open up the altar for a Holy Spirit free-for-all. Hey, isn't that good? The Holy Spirit free-for-all. That doesn't mean you do. It means the Holy Spirit is free to do whatever he wants. Okay? And if you want prayer, just come around to this side. Make the line up this way, because we have more room if we pray facing here than if we face this way. And we'll pray until we're done praying. And what I ask you to do is just be patient, because this prayer time does take a little while, but here's the good news. The Dolphins aren't playing today. And the Heat play later. One thing I learned is the Heat don't like the Heat. Ha ha ha! Well, it's true. One guy in particular, but I'm not going to mention any names, you know. They just like to give the heat. I guess they don't like to take the heat. All right, whatever. Okay, but here, but just so we can just be in God's time and just let God move, and we won't start the food until we're done here anyway. So you can't sneak out and think there's going to be food. This first, that second. So in other words, just be at peace and keep praying, because even if you don't need prayer today, somebody else does. And as long as we stay in an attitude of prayer, I'm just asking God to have his way with us at the Church of the Resurrection. So Father, we're just asking you right now to begin sending forth fresh wind and fresh oil and fresh fire. To have your way with us in this church, whatever you want to do, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come on us for revival in this place. Come for us with release in this place. And for every single person who desires it today, we pray exactly the same thing. That as the body of Christ was never the same since that first day of Pentecost, this body of Christ will never be the same after today. So come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. And if the prayer teams will please